We head back to the hotline and we bring in our Hollywood guru, the one and only Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
Great. I love how you bring me on by pumping up someone else beforehand, but, you know, I'm doing good.
If I could ship cookies out to you, my friend, you know I'd do that in a heartbeat.
And these, I wish you could, man.
These are good, although I'm sure you would trade in that 75-degree weather for a nice little basket of cookies.
Dude, for sure.
Right?
A hot chocolate chip cookie is not the same when it's 80 degrees out. You know, you need that 30-degree wind chill below 10 to really enjoy a good chocolate chip cookie.
Hey, these are worth it, man. Just trust me. Take my word for it. I wouldn't steer you the wrong direction. You know that.
Not when it comes to food or Coen Brothers movies. I think that's the only two things I really trust your opinion on.
All right. Well, speaking of trust, I've seen a lot of previews for this new show, this 10-episode series of Trust, based on the 1973 kidnapping of John Paul Getty III. What are critics saying about this? The previews look very, very intriguing, but what are people saying about this? And I'm not sure if you've had a chance to take a sneak peek at this.
Well, so Trust is pretty interesting in the fact that it's the second attempt in the last year to bring the story of John Paul Getty's the Third's kidnapping to the big screen. For those that remember, All the Money in the World came out last year, mostly known for the Kevin Spacey issues and Christopher Plummer being recast as basically Kevin Spacey. That's basically the same exact story. So it's crazy to me that, and this happens a lot. I don't know if you remember, you know, the Armageddon and Deep Impact asteroid movies coming out very close to each other. There's many examples of this happening, but this one is definitely, you know, just another one. It's called So Trust. Is the same story, basically. Donald Sutherland is in the Christopher Plummer role playing John Paul Getty. I think Brendan Fraser's in the Mark Wahlberg role, if I'm incorrect, and Hilary Swank's kind of the Michelle Williams role. So it's kind of the same thing, except this is going to be a little longer. It's a miniseries, so there's going to be, you know, more character beats, able to, like, build stuff more. And from what I'm hearing is it's good. I think the same kind of decent reviews that All the Money in the World got, not, like, mind-blowing, but I heard it's good, it's fun, it's a little more lighthearted than the movie. So I'm looking forward to it. I haven't gotten a chance to check it out. But Getty's also a very big persona in Los Angeles. I never actually wasn't as aware of Getty until I came out here. He owns a lot of museums and a lot of property out here. So it's definitely gotten people in LA interested. But like I said, I haven't seen it. And I find it more, like I said, interesting that we have two intellectual properties based on this same story coming on the same year, especially such a story that hasn't really been told or talked about in something that happened in the 70s, something I was unaware of. And now we have two things coming out, which is a little crazy to me.
Yeah, especially since it's almost 50 years later. We're, I think, approaching 45 years on the anniversary of this. So, bizarre. You're right, how it's coming out in two different forms and fashions in the same calendar year. Well, wanted to get back to the box office here, because I know the last few weeks we've talked about the staying power and the popularity and the crazy success of Black Panther, but finally Black Panther was taken off the top of the hill at the box office. Were you surprised to see that it was Pacific Rim that finally took it down from the top spot?
Yes. I mean, I knew it was coming. Like, no movie's going to last that long. But something like Pacific Rim, Uprising, I'm not as surprised that it toppled Black Panther. I'm surprised that it was number one in the box office. I didn't see that happening. I didn't hear a lot of good things about it. I didn't think Pacific Rim needed a sequel, especially with Del Toro not involved, Charlie Hunnam not involved. But yeah, it did. It did okay. I mean, it won the box office at $28 million, so it wasn't like, you know, lighting the streets on fire. But it did okay. And so, like we said, usually February and March are the doldrums of the box office. Black Panther was a great outlier. I'm glad that came out. But there's just not a lot of, like, good big budget movies. Weirdly enough, though, there are a lot of really solid, smaller independent movies coming out now, enough that I've had a tough time trying to see all those in the movies. And I know there's one we're talking about later. Isle of Dogs came out. There's The Death of Stalin's out. A movie called I Kill Giants, which I've heard really good things about. Annihilation, which is in theater. So there's a lot of decent, like, smaller movies out there now. But they're just not blowing the box office up. And so I am a little, you know, as we say, they're on top now. But we have Ready Player One coming out this week. And I am pretty sure that it's just going to destroy the box. Well, maybe not destroy the box office, but will destroy Pacific Rim. I'm guessing anywhere up from $50 million or so. But we'll see how that goes.
That was my next question, because, I mean, this is based off of a book, and I know a lot of people who have read the book, they're very interested to see what direction Spielberg takes with this film. Ready Player One seems to be the kind of movie that is most definitely going to unseat Pacific Rim's one-week run. I was really expecting Ready Player One to be the film that took Black Panther off the top spot. And, I mean, not to say that it's going to be as successful as Black Panther, but, I mean, after a 6 or 7 week stay at the top of the box office, that only lasts so long. How successful do you think Ready Player One's going to be?
Yeah, and I think, well, as you said, Pacific Rim winning, so is Ivan Black. I think everyone's seen Black Panther at this point. There's not enough people to keep going to the theater to see it, which is why it's going down. But Ready Player One has a lot going for it. Not only is it a beloved book, or not, maybe not beloved, but a very well-known book that has its, you know, fans, and then it deals with a lot of pop culture stuff. So you have that avenue, a lot of, like, comic book characters involved, you know, old movie characters involved. So not only do you have that, and then you also have Spielberg. And so you have a lot of things intriguing, especially the time of year. It's just about to get into blockbuster season. We're not there yet, but you have this coming out. It's going to get a lot of people intrigued, and I think, I don't know, I've heard pretty decent reviews coming up, so I have no doubt it'll do very well. We'll just see how well it'll do. Hopefully we don't use Black Panther as, like, a marker, like, oh, anyone that doesn't do this. So obviously it's not going to hit those numbers, but I think, even if it gets to what half of what they did, that'll be a huge showing for this movie. I don't think it'll do half of what's it at, $1 billion? I don't think it'll do half of that, but it'll do pretty well.
Well, yeah, I mean, Black Panther's doing things that hadn't been done at the box office in almost 10 years, going back to all the success that Avatar had. So you're right. I think that would be pretty unfair to hold any of these other movies at the box office to that same standard. Also want to get back to a movie you referenced earlier. You mentioned we'd come back around to this. Well, I was very intrigued when I was looking at the previews for Isle of Dogs. I mean, you were talking about this last week, a star-studded cast, and I was impressed looking at the way the story was coming together on the preview anyway. Why was Isle of Dogs only available in 27 theaters this past week? And is it going to be more readily available in the weeks to come?
So from what I've read and heard, it will be released in more theaters as the week goes on. I think something around 1,500 theaters eventually. But studios do this a lot. They'll do a slow turnout, you know, get the big markets first, see how it goes, especially a Wes Anderson movie. And I actually think this is the same rollout strategy that Grand Budapest had as well. You hit the big cities first, see how it goes, and then slowly roll out as weeks go on. Because this isn't a movie that's going to blow up on the first weekend of the box office, right? So it's more of a slow build for something like this. Get it out there in a couple theaters, get people interested. And then as the word of mouth comes out, people are like, oh, I really want to see this movie. When's it coming here? Then they get it out to the other theaters. You see this with smaller movies that, like I said, have a decent-sized budget, probably, like, you know, in the tens to $50 million. They don't have the amount of money to really, like, push hard for a huge first weekend. So it's all about the build-up. It's all about making that money back within a month, not within a weekend. So they'll take their time in the way they release these movies. But I was fortunately able to be in one of those markets where it didn't get released. And I saw it over the weekend. And it's great, man. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those where, like, the story's good, but just the focus to detail and the way that everything is kind of, like, just done perfectly. Like, all the dogs live on Trash Island, so they're, like, covered in fleas, but you'll see, like, a flea there and then disappear because, you know, fleas move quickly. And it's just the way that – and you'll see them pop up a little bit, and just the attention to detail in that movie is remarkable and unlike anything I've really seen. And so that really makes it worthwhile. The comedy is great. The voice actors are great. So it's definitely worth checking out. And it should get to Cleveland, I would say, in the next week or two.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I had to throw a question regarding the Roseanne reboot, your direction, because we are going to see the debut of the Roseanne reboot tomorrow. Did you happen to read Tom Arnold's review of this Roseanne reboot? Because I was kind of on the fence of this thing, but now I'm a little excited. I happen to like Tom Arnold. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but you know my fascination with Chris Farley. He actually spoke at Chris Farley's funeral. He was one of the guys that gave a eulogy at the Farley funeral. Farley was the best man at one of Tom Arnold's weddings, so I've always been fascinated by Tom Arnold. Did you happen to read his review of this?
I did. And I'm not a big Roseanne fan, never was, but it got me intrigued by it. And especially, I think it's more interesting with the way the culture is and the fact that, and he mentions this, that Roseanne is a Trump supporter, but her TV family won't be. She will be. So I'm very interested to see how they tackle that. And reading that article, it showed like they do it pretty well. And it was a great little read. I looked for the takeaway. A lot of people are running with the fact that, you know, Tom kind of mentions that Roseanne wouldn't let him date Laurie Metcalf. And there's some publications running with that as the big deal of that story. But I thought it was a pretty good review. And he's right. Laurie Metcalf is great in everything, as we saw in Lady Bird last year. Anything she's in, she brings 100%. And with her and John Goodman, I'm not a big Roseanne fan. But her and John Goodman alone, and especially the year since Roseanne first came out, I think my appreciation for both of them has just gotten so much bigger. So I'm intrigued in to see how they tackle the politics, because me, you know, don't want to get too much into that, but I'm kind of getting not sick of, but I think it's tough if you only have one point of view. I know it's very easy to be anti-Trump and to have that as your viewpoint. But I think there's too many shows that really just take that side. And I'm interested to see, you know, a little bit bickering on both sides and hearing, like, the takes and seeing how they do it. So that I'm really intrigued by. And Tom Arnold's article really talked about that and talked about his relationship with Roseanne. I thought it was a very interesting review. And it was interesting for the Hollywood Reporter to ask him to write it. But I think it was great, and I don't think he took too many cheap shots. So, that article definitely got me more excited to see it than I had been at any point.
I'm with you on that. I came away from that article thinking the exact same thing. I was on the fence when it came to the Roseanne reboot before, but now I am awfully intrigued. All right, my friend, before we let you go, we've got to get your picks to click for this week.
Yeah, so this week's interesting. There's quite a few things coming out. Americans, their final season's premiered this week, which is a show I love. There's a new comedy with Zach Braff from Scrubs that I'm kind of intrigued by because I was such a big Scrubs fan, but everything he's done since then has been kind of lukewarm, so we'll see how that goes. But my pick to click is going to be kind of an insider thing, friends that work on this project, but it's a documentary coming out tonight on HBO called The Zen of Gary Shandling. And for those that don't know, Gary Shandling was one of the biggest comedians in the world, and I think in like the 80s and 90s. Two shows he created, The Gary Shandling Show and The Larry Sanders Show, which was on HBO, were kind of ahead of their time. Judd Apatow has directed this, and he's got interviews with everyone from Jim Carrey to the creators of The Simpsons to Jeff Goldblum to Jay Leno. Like, everyone's going to be part of this, Sarah Silverman. So I'm really looking forward to that. Like I said, I know a few people worked on it, so got a little of the background behind it, and it sounds very interesting. So that'll be tonight on HBO, The Zen of Gary Shandling.
Actually, I saw Judd Apatow talking to Conan O'Brien about this about a week or so ago, too. So I'm very, very intrigued by that as well. Al, a pleasure as always to have you on, my good friend, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Sounds great. Talk to you guys then.